Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. I hope your day is going well wherever you're tuned into the show around the world. Thank you so much for being a part of the Be Our Guest podcast family. Of course, we've got your listener questions here on a Wednesday, including some questions about strategies. Where do you go first in Hollywood studios here in the end of 2020? Do you go to Mickey and Minnie's? Do you go back to Toy Story Land? What about Sunset Boulevard? And how does all this work with getting that Rise of the Resistance boarding group? So we have a nice discussion on that. We also have a question about car seats with little kids. Should you be driving now? What about Disney transportation? Lots of great questions on today's show. Don't forget, today's podcast brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. They make all this possible. So when it comes time to go to your next Disney destination, work with the great professional agents over at the Magic for Less. Their services are absolutely free to you. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you shop online. It's a free way to support the show. Just click through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, a huge shout out to all of our patrons. You are making all of this podcasting possible during these times where travel has slowed down just a bit. And I am eternally grateful to each and every one of our patrons. If you'd like to get some extra content in your week and support the show that way, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1772 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Check it out today over at themagicforless.com. Welcome to the last day of September. That's right. Wake up. Right? Green Day said to wake you up when September ends. Get up. And yes. So you've been snoozing in. It's time to get ready for what we're going to call October. We always have those, you know, it's always something-tober. Like, you know, we need a fancy name. We'll have to workshop it.
Yes.
Mocktober or, you know, whatever. I don't know. Podcast-tober coming at you. I don't know.
We'll call it March 330.
Yes. Yes. Is it still March? Yes, it is. Yes. Exactly.
Yes. Yes, it is. We're coming up on the end, hopefully.
That's a good one, yes. April will be here before you know it. Hey. All right, today we are here to answer your listener questions, as we do each and every Wednesday for the last 12 and a half years. We have Ricky. She's from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com. No, she's not, but that's still her website. I bet she still owns the domain. But you catch her over at themouseforless.com. Happy Wednesday, Ricky. I'm the one that's messed up, and you drank all the espressos or whatever.
I did. I was telling everybody I drank a coffee with two shots of espresso in it. So I'm super jazzed today and I'm ready to answer your listener questions. Yeah!
Got you pumped up there. The dog has been taken outside and you are 100% focused.
She is. She's laying here next to me. So she's sleeping for now. So hopefully she doesn't bark later. Hopefully no one rings the doorbell. I didn't order any Uber Eats tonight. So maybe not, but No, we're good.
What's Ricky's address? No, just kidding. We will not. All right. Yeah. Last week, you ordered ice cream by Uber Eats, which was another classic
move. I did not order ice cream in it. Oh, yeah, I did order ice cream in Uber Eats.
It was a mistake.
I put it in the freezer. It was fine.
It was like, you did what while pocket? Never mind. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. What's up, Pam? How's it going?
Hey, happy Wednesday. I am happy to be here, although we did go back in time to hear Ricky's old website. It was like, that was like somewhere in your reptilian brain. You spit that out without even thinking about it. It was just like muscle memory. It just happened like that.
Next, we're going to talk about your GeoCities site.
Yes, exactly.
Well, she still does use AOL, by the way. I do.
Yes, it's true. It's not a joke. I actually do.
Ricky and like five other people somewhere that stuff with the AOL.
I pay an extra $6 a year just so Ricky can have Ricky at BeOurGuestPodcast.com because I feel so sorry for her if she goes to get like a home loan and it's like Ricky Nibs at AOL.com. Like, ma'am, you are declined. I'm sorry.
I like that we can tease you about that. It always cracks me up. I hope you keep that AOL address forever.
I'm keeping it forever. It is true. I'm not getting rid of my AOL account or address, I guess I should say, until AOL goes under, which I'm pretty sure they already have anyway. So
it's been sold like three times.
Around to some degree.
Yeah, I think it's Verizon. Yes. All right, before we get to today's questions, shout out to Alan Webb, who's right now at a wet Walt Disney World, is recording. But he says, since y'all brought up Baseline's charcuterie board last week, he decided today to have it for lunch, and he said, delicious. So good job.
Yay! It is
new. I love that place. I wish I was there. Like, this is the perfect weather. Well, like, fall time is the best time to be at Baseline, because you can sit outside and just... people watch all day long. And people do the most fantastic things, I will just say. There's so much to watch. And we need Kathy's judging.
Yes.
When we're sitting at Baseline.
Yes.
Like, I want to be able to hold up scores for stuff, or like have little signs that say stuff like, those shoes are inappropriate, or like,
we've definitely seen the inappropriate shoes.
That's right? Yes. Right. Now, like they won't be too harsh, but just like kind of harsh. Like, how come your kid's like so far behind you, not walking with you, and stuff like that. So.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Stop wearing the fanny pack. That's the one.
Scott just ordered the neon green fanny pack back off.
Yes. Stop putting on neon green.
Yes.
Exactly. We'll make a sign just for him.
And Jennifer says her 91-year-old mother-in-law uses AOL. All right, let's go to, you know what? Let's hit the breaking news. We talked about this on Sunday night, and you'll get the details on Thursday as we release the live show, as we do every, we record it on Sunday nights. Take your calls. It comes out for everybody who missed it on the following Thursday. So you'll get that here tomorrow. Lots of great questions too, and comments about Marathon Weekend and so forth, going virtual princess and so forth. This is really, really good. Lots of great calls. So you'll get that tomorrow. But we talked about breaking news. We're so excited for this. We've been waiting because life got in the way a little bit before 2020 hit us, and then 2020 really put us in a tailspin. We get to do another live, extended live show like we used to do. We used to do the 12-hour live show. This is going to be a 6-hour live show. But we are super excited because we get to do it together on location at Give Kids the World in December. And lots of great opportunities for you to not only come by the village and see us, but to, if you can't, to join us virtually as we have an amazing, amazing, not only day on that Saturday, but the whole week leading up to it. So, Pam, kind of kick us off and tell us, what's it called this year? When's it happening? And then we'll dive in. Ricky's got details. So give us all the details on what's happening and when. We're so excited.
So we're excited. And you probably have seen the announcement that Give Kids the World put out, that they are decorating the village. Like, think Osborne Lights decorating the village. And I know that not everyone can be down there during that time to see that. So we're going to be bringing it to you live in conjunction with an auction and our regular donation time. And we're calling it, ready, Be Our Guest Holiday Fest.
Yay!
Yeah, I like to put that
How
on a shirt.
Awesome is that? Yes. I know. And then we're being sponsored, of course, by the folks from the Indy Disney Meet, the Magical Wishes for Kids, and the travel agency as well, Magic for Less Travel. So we're all so thrilled to be a part of this. And what it will be is, it will be a day of us podcasting. Mm-hmm. We'll have some guests on here and there for sure. But then in the evening, we're actually going to take you on a little tour of the lights in the village. And leading up to this, there will be an auction with all kinds of stuff that you can bid on. Now, we have some very, very creative folks that listen to us. So, like, they make stuff that, like, you can't find anywhere else. It's awesome. There's a Disney or Universal theme most of the time, but not always. There's some other good stuff. Then we know lots of really generous folks who donate all kinds of stuff, like, I don't know, John Stamos autographed stuff.
I think it's going to be that. I'm telling you, I think the Stamos thing is going to be that sweater from the Geico commercial, Progressive, whatever the insurance is.
He knitted it, yes. It's a scarf. It's a scarf,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly, yeah. Yes.
Soft like his hair, apparently. So, but we're just going to have lots of stuff. And you can also make donations during this time, too. So we're really, really excited to get to pull this off again. We want to end 2020 with something super positive
Mm-hmm. As opposed to what's been going on for the rest of the time. So let's make this a 2020 that we can remember for a really great reason. Give Kids the World really needs our support more than ever, and we want to be able to help them. And we're so glad that the Magical Wishes for Kids folks are helping us set all this up and get it going, because we need their help. So we're looking forward to it and hope you all will join us. Oh, and hello. Let me just go ahead and give you the date. It is December 5th is when we'll actually be doing that. So, watch for it there.
And so, block out the time. We're going to be, so Ricky, I'll just get real quick, and then you can give all the details. So, it's going to be 2-8 Eastern. 2-8 mm-hmm. Eastern. That'll be standard time at that point for our international listeners. So, join us. We'll be here on Facebook. We'll be on YouTube. We're going to be obviously in person having people drop in. We'll get to meet some of our listeners, throw them in, put them right here on the feed. We'll talk to them about what's going on. We're going to tour the lights. Go around, you know, with Facebook Live, YouTube Live, stuff like that. And obviously we'll have some special guests along the way, either remotely or at the village as well. So 2-8 mm-hmm. Eastern, December 5th. If you can't attend in person, which I understand, hey, join us right here. We're always right here for you. But hey, if you're down there, we're going to be there that weekend. So I can't wait to see you. Okay, Ricky, what else? Because it kind of kicks off on that Giving Tuesday, which is the Tuesday following Black Friday, right? Yep. If I remember how the season goes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the auction itself will kick off on December 1st. So that is the day that's, like Mike said, it's Giving Tuesday. It is the day that we'll start the auction. And, you know, I am still looking for items. So if you would like to donate anything at all, it can be a craft, it can be something that you've got, you know, that you've collected that's been laying around your house that you, you know, would like to donate, or it can be something you, you know, buy and send my way. You can do any of those things. You can message me at BOGPauction@gmail.com, and we can arrange to have you send the auction items my direction. I would be more than happy to assist in facilitating that. And also, I'd like to say, you know, a huge thank you to everyone who has been sending me auction items throughout like the past year. I have, like Mike said, I have about 100 items so far. And I want to just blow this out of the water this year. So like the more items I get, the better. So please keep sending me items. But you know, like Pam said, I have some awesome things like John Stamos signed scripts and Paige O'Hara signed prints. And Paige O'Hara, for those who don't know, she was Belle in the animated version of Beauty and the Beast. I have things like a Mickey Mouse birthday sipper. You know, those things were going, like, they were all the rage and everybody wanted them a few months before all this COVID stuff happened. And, you know, so we have one of those. We have Star Wars Galaxy's Edge Rise of the Resistance limited edition magic bands. I have tons of, like, Vera Bradley bags and, like, just, I have so many awesome things, but I want to make it even better. So please, please, please contact me if you have something that you would like to put up in the auction. It's BOGPauction@gmail.com. And let's make this year just the best year ever. And the best thing is that, hello, Christmas is right around the corner. So you can not only support this awesome charity, but you can also, you know, get some of your Christmas shopping out of the way too. So that's
Mike, you could be early this year.
Yes, you could be. Oh my gosh.
You really kind of better plan for it for 2020, because you're not, you do last minute shopping this year, you're going to be in trouble. I'm just saying.
Right. Yeah. Everyone else has figured out the interwebs and how to shop.
Yes. No, I figured it out, but just got to have a plan. So seriously, we're going to get to the questions because that's why you're here, but just the best thing you can do at this point is if you have some, like Dawn, she's our great friend, Dawn and Don from years back, you know, up in the Northeast. Yeah. And she always would like knit us something, and it was always some Disney thing. And it was so amazing because of her talent, you know, and it was like always brought in so much money for the village. And it was just awesome because you can't get that. You know, that was made, honestly, it was made with love, you know, and care and for the kids and the family. So if you have something like that, or you have something unique, get with Ricky. We'll figure it out. But December, best thing you can do right now is to spread the word and put it on your calendar. December 5th.
Absolutely.
All day. It's going to be fun.
Yep. Like you said, handmade stuff is awesome. I have this great, Hocus Pocus actually themed wreath that I think is just amazing. And granted, wow, you won't be able to put it up this year for Halloween.
Is this like the Nightmare Before Christmas kind of theme thing?
You'll definitely be able to put it up next year for Halloween. It's so cool though. Like, it's the coolest thing ever. So I may have to bet on it myself. You might be fighting me for it. I'm just saying. So yeah, I have handmade earrings that somebody has done. I have handmade ears that people have done. Like, just so much creativity that people have is just fantastic. So anyway, yes, please contact me. I have lots of space for auction items still. So just let me know.
And if you just see us on social media, reach out. We're there too. So
yes,
if
exactly.
It's easier that way for you. Okay. Mackenzie's got the first question of the day from the inbox, and she's in the live chat and said, "Hey, can you find my question?" And I did. So here we go. Hey, BRGP crew. I hope you are having a great day. I'm having a great day, Pam. Great day.
Yep.
Ricky.
Thumbs up here.
Okay.
I got to announce about Give Kids the World. I'm doing great now. Yeah.
Finally, it's been like 2 years. Okay. Yes. A few crazy questions for you with mobile ordering. Okay. First of all, real quick, on the mobile ordering thing that crashed the other day, I was scared people were going to starve because I'm thinking it's going away and get your food. Like, you're going to have people die and this is going to be a humanitarian crisis when the servers went down. But apparently that didn't happen. But I'd have been sweating it out if I'd have been there and that would have happened. But anyway, she says with mobile ordering, there will be a lot more charges going straight on my Magic Band than normal in a given trip. I usually save up cash and gift cards before the trip. Is there any way to preload money onto your Magic Band or bring money to the front desk to apply to my total before the end of my stay? Just trying to plan ahead as I'm a saver pre-trip. Pam, I think this is something you guys do, right, with gift cards and hit it before the end of your stay. Is that what you do?
We do. But the interesting thing about mobile ordering is that it actually does not hit your Magic Band. You pay for it right then. It is not charged to your hotel account. So here's a couple things you can do. First of all, any cash or whatever that you've saved, go and buy a Disney gift card, because you can pay when you mobile order with a Disney gift card. You just enter it at that time. The other thing that you can do is use the credit card that's attached to your My Disney Experience account. It's kind of different than it used to be because they really want to make a touchless pay system. To just put it very frankly, they don't want people rolling up to the front desk for 8 million different things. It just keeps you safer. It keeps them safer. And it's just a better practice. So I would actually put as much money as I could onto those Disney gift cards. And then you'll be able to charge whatever you need to during your stay to that. Now, the table service restaurants, you still can charge to your Magic Band. And again, you absolutely can go to the front desk and give them cash or a credit card or a Disney gift card to settle the balance on any of the charges that you put on your room during that time.
Yep. And you can also, even if you have an iOS device and an iPhone, what you can do is you can preload cash into Apple. It's called Apple Pay Cash. It's the same thing. It's like a gift card. And then you can use Apple Pay to pay. So that's another way to do contactless. All right. She has another question. She says, I'm staying at Coronado Springs for my November 1st through 8th trip. Any word when those restaurants will open at Coronado? I'm not seeing them open to make any dining reservations for my dates yet, but I know I'm staying there, so the resort must be open for those dates. Thanks in advance. Mackenzie is up in Burnsville, Minnesota. And we're back. We went not live there for a second, but we're here. So did you guys get that one? So what about the restaurants at Coronado, Ricky? Any word on it? I know, as I recall, I'm trying to think of everything, that the best seeded teams in the NBA Finals were at Coronado. I know the Lakers were at Coronado, and they're in the Finals. So I know what they did was they kind of rebubbled things as teams got eliminated, but Coronado is kind of the last thing standing, and the Finals are getting ready to start. So, yeah, I would say in another couple weeks, the NBA players will be out of there.
Yeah, when the resort reopens on, Pam, do you know what date offhand? I know that they've said it, right?
They have said it. Yes, they absolutely have said it. I just don't have it in front of me.
I think
it is in October. Yeah, absolutely. So when that does, then we'll absolutely see Disney posts like the way they have before, showing us what's going to be available, what they're doing. And we'll be able to see what reservations we can get and which restaurants will be available too. So,
and it's an ever-changing thing. I mean, we just had news that Chefs de France at Epcot is reopening, in October 8th. So like, things keep coming back online, slowly but surely. So I suspect that you may not find out until like a couple days before your trip or something like that. But you will know like what restaurants will be available for you here.
October 14th is actually when Disney's Coronado Springs will open. And Disney has a great section on their site. And actually, if you just Google this, because I do it all the time, we have a link to it on the Magic for Less Travel. But if you Google Disney Know Before You Go, it takes you to that site. And if you scroll all the way down to the bottom, you'll find information on the resorts that are open, the restaurants that are available. You'll find information on the enhanced safety protocols, all of that stuff. So we're going to see something open at the restaurant. Don't worry. Yes. They will not let you be somewhere and not have any place to, you know, to have you go. So just keep that in mind.
They certainly won't let you starve. Let's put it that way.
I promise they won't.
I stay at Coronado just to eat there because of the good dining. It's so good. Yes. I mean, think about it. You got Three Bridges. You got Maya Grill. You got El Mercado del Coronado. You have, not Topolino's. It's not. No. Well, I mean, if it hopefully reopened, but was it Tapas?
Yeah. No.
What's the name of it? Toledo. Like, why am I Toledo, too many T's? Yes. There's too many T's.
Yes. Rick's Cafe is also there. Yes.
So. They probably won't all be open, but definitely some things will be open for sure.
I'm saying this is a place to stay if you like to eat. It's a good place.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, next question is about December 2020 Hollywood Studios plan for Meg. Hey, BOGP crew, I have an upcoming trip booked for December 13th to the 17th with two studios days. Having done the DCP, that's Disney College Program for you uninitiated, I feel pretty confident about my plans for all the other parks, but have not been back since the opening of Galaxy's Edge and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Our group has decided not to try for a boarding group for Rise of the Resistance on our studios first studios day. By the way, there's a lots of acronyms in this, and I'm trying to decipher them on the fly. This is cool. My main goal for that day is to tackle Runaway Railway and Toy Story Land. Looking at the wait times this week, I've seen Railway jump up to 105 minutes and would prefer not to wait that long for that. So my question is, do we rope drop studios and head straight to Runaway Railway while most people are trying for boarding groups? Or do we need to head straight to Toy Story Land? Based on wait times, I'm leaning towards option one, but wanted to get y'all's opinion as well. Thanks in advance, Meg. All right, Ricky, what would you do? What would Ricky do?
Well, I mean, the good thing is like, if you wanted to try for a boarding pass on that first day, I would... Yeah, I would absolutely still try for one.
Because you do it while you're doing other stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. Me too. That's
the good thing is you don't have to be in a specific spot at Disney's Hollywood Studios to get your boarding pass. Like, it's not like you have to be on Main Street in order to get the boarding pass. You can be anywhere. So I would still try to get my boarding pass. And if you don't get it in the first round, I would definitely still try for that 2 o'clock opening. Mm-hmm. You know, so that I would absolutely still try for. As far as what I would do, I am kind of leaning towards going towards Toy Story Land first, doing that, and then going to Mickey's and Minnie's Runaway Railway. You know why? Because everybody is going to head to Mickey and Minnie's first because it's the first thing you get to, really. You know, they're either going to head towards Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster, or they're going to head straight to Mickey and Minnie's. So, you know, and then you're going to have a few people who head back towards Toy Story Land too. So that's the direction that I would really head. And then I'd swing back around and hopefully like the line would start to die down a little bit for Mickey and Minnie. And then you could go on that, you know, later. So that's what I would do. And even if you waited to ride Mickey and Minnie, you know, towards later in the afternoon, the end of the day, you know, that might be another option for you too, because the wait time might go down a little bit as the day progresses.
It's a tough call right now because the studios, I mean, and this is what you're going to see, and this is what everybody is seeing that's gone down recently, is that, I mean, there's no doubt about it, that the word's getting out. You know, people that are Disney fans saw, you know, what happened in late July, August. You know, and they're like, oh my gosh, I want to go down and have those parks to myself. Well, when a lot of people see that, you know, so this is the blessing and the curse of social media right now in 2020 is that we see everything in real time. And it's like, I want to get a piece of that. Like it looks, and the thing is, you know, Disney's being successful. People say, well, I like that they're really enforcing the masks. They're really clean and stuff. They're doing a great job of, you know, ensuring that people can have a really good time in spite of 2020. and feel relatively safe at the same time. So I think people are getting more and more comfortable the more they see with traveling. So in, you know, in turn, the crowds are getting a little bit larger. But again, in comparison to what 2019 looked like, or, you know, busier times of the year, everything is kind of relative. So Pam, you know, the studios though is where we're seeing the biggest impact 7 days a week. You know, this is kind of the busiest part of Walt Disney World for sure.
But just know, like, a lot of those things, the pictures that we're seeing on social media are taken on weekend. They just are. I mean, and that's when we're absolutely going to see larger crowds. People who have annual passes and live in the area find it easier to get there, or even if you're traveling, you tend to travel over a weekend. So consider that. But, you know, I would absolutely, so my first advice, I agree with Ricky totally that you're going to want to try for Rise of the Resistance every time you have the opportunity. If you're going to be there 2 days, you're going to have four opportunities. I would try for all four. I just would. They are going quickly, just like they were before COVID. They were, you know, they were selling out then too. So you don't have to be in any particular spot to do that. You just have to have a Wi-Fi connection. So just make sure you give that a shot. And then that morning, I would either play it by ear. I would either do, you know, I would look and see what which had the longer wait in time and then go there. But you're going to have 2 days. You're going to get things done. And I might want to make sure that I am there in the late afternoon or soon before they're going to close on at least one of those nights, because you may see the crowd lower at that time. And the other thing is with Rise, I mentioned Wi-Fi. The other thing you're going to want to do is try to put it on cellular data too, because people report that they have better success with that. But I've heard people too that said that they had good success with the Wi-Fi there. So it really just depends on what, you know, that day, that moment, whatever. So that's why I'm saying try four times.
I agreed. And the other thing is while you are waiting in line for Mickey and Minnie, I will warn you that that wait is kind of in the sun. Okay, it's really in the sun. There's not a ton of shade for the line. My biggest tip is to bring an umbrella. That's what we did, and it was a game changer. I mean, we just held up the umbrella the whole time. It shaded us from the brutal sun that we were waiting in, and you know, hardly anybody else had the same idea that we had, so we were the only ones out there geniusly with the umbrellas. So have an umbrella to shade yourself. It is a huge help in the non-shaded parts of the queue, which is the majority of it right now.
And here's your biggest tip for all of this, just to kind of cover this up for Meg here, is that the studios right now is open at 10 a.m but the secret is the park's opening at 9 a.m You know what I'm saying? So they're letting people in at 9 a.m. And I'm hearing people that are riding Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway and Slinky Dog before 10 o'clock hits. And they're off both attractions before they even try to get their rise pass. So then you're so far ahead of everybody. You've got those under your belt. So I know, you know, maybe you don't want to get up early, whatever. You know, the thing is, it's time invested on the front end that saves the stress on the back end. So if you could be there even at... And I know, you know, it goes against everything you're saying. The park opens at 10. Well, they're saying that, but what they're doing is they don't want a bajillion people outside those gates. So unofficially, they're pushing people in around 9 o'clock. So if you can be in front of that group, and you might have to wait a little bit, but, I mean, it's going to be worth it once you get in. So, I mean, it doesn't hurt to try to get there early and see what happens is what I would do. All right, question from Kara earlier, and I think it might have scrolled away, but she had a question of, I believe it said, she's in the live chat, she wants to go to Sanaa. She's having a day at Animal Kingdom theme park, and she's staying at Pop Century. The best way to get this done, very simply, so when you're at Animal Kingdom, just take the bus back to Animal Kingdom Lodge. It'll drop you off at the Villas right now, because it's the only place it's going, which is very nice because Sanaa's at the Villas, and have dinner there. And then, now the problem is getting from the Villas back to Pop Century. There will not be a direct bus, but you could go to Disney Springs and transfer, or, you know, you could do like a $7 Uber ride, and you'll be back quick, is what I would do. All right, just didn't want to miss that one. Amanda's got a question here. Dining at Disney. Hello, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My friend and I are planning an October trip to Walt Disney World. We're planning our dining. Signature dining isn't for us, but we're looking for some more casual places to have sit-down meals after the parks close. We're open to doing the last reservation of the day thing and getting to stay in the parks later. We're also open to exploring different resorts near the parks. For example, I was thinking about going to Geyser Point after we leave the Magic Kingdom, since I've heard you recommend it highly. Places with outdoor dining are a plus these days. Plus, we're flexible when it comes to kind of food, as long as it's good. We're staying at Pop Century. We're especially looking for somewhere fun to eat on the day we arrive and don't have park tickets. I'd love to hear some of your recommendations about places we could go. Thanks. Amanda is in Massachusetts, where I bet you they have great clam chowder.
I'm sure they do.
Now, is this what we're going to be talking about on Friday? Is Amanda going to need to wait 48 hours to get the details? Because Friday's show is going to be about the best table service and quick service dining, in our opinion, that's open right now. So do we want to... Do you want to give Amanda an entire show for Friday? Because I think
we're
that's
teasing.
The best way.
Yeah, teasing.
We are.
But yeah, so Amanda, stand by, and you'll get a whole show on Friday on that one.
You're going to get a whole show to help you.
Yeah, that's pretty good. let's see here. Peter has a recent trip report and observations. Real quick, he's got three paragraphs. He says, I wanted to share my experience from the last week, September 18th and the 19th, that most of the wait times were overall accurate. Only one or two lines were shorter than posted. I also believe the capacity has been increased slightly with average waits. We're about 40 minutes for the popular rides. Still a great experiences, but listeners shouldn't expect the incredibly short wait times that were in August. Biggest issue we faced was transportation, but the cast members operating the buses were doing a great job and saved us twice from getting stuck somewhere. And again, that's what we're talking about, is you got to be careful, is that these parks closing earlier. You know, if you decide to go to a resort, then all of a sudden you're like, well, I can't go back to Animal Kingdom. It closed at 5. You know, if it's 7:30 when the restaurants. So you got to, they'll get you back. I mean, you're not going to not get back to your hotel, but you just got, if you think about these things ahead of time, it's going to really help you out. He says, we also closed out Hollywood Studios with a 745 ADR, and seeing the main street there empty with the lights on was a once in a lifetime experience. It was also awesome to grab a drink and wander Galaxy's Edge after the rides had closed. And there were nearly no people left. Thanks to your other listeners for the recommendation. Overall, I would say my biggest takeaway is that you now have enough time and space to really observe all the details that the Imagineers have put into the waiting lines. They've incorporated some fascinating items into the decorations, especially in Galaxy's Edge. There's an air vent that you can hear the aliens behind the wall for Smuggler's Run. Thanks, Peter. So I think, you know, that's Peter was just there, you know, a week ago, and I think that's something that can really help our listeners, Pam, because, you know, again, you know, you got to seize this. Like a lot, you know, I hadn't gone through the flight of passage, you know, regular queue, but I got to experience it because I could, you know, there's the only thing to do. So you just got, it's such a unique opportunity. He sent pictures that he took walking out of Hollywood Studios, and it is, I mean, it's once in a, there's not a soul in the picture looking up Hollywood Boulevard. It's an amazing time.
It is true. And I'll just say, Disney has not increased capacity at this point. I think what people are seeing happen is that they are reaching those capacity levels that were set early on, when in the beginning, they weren't coming anywhere close to the capacity levels. They just weren't. But this was the amount that was established early on. So there is going to be a fluctuation in that. And that's hard. I mean, it's hard. People want us to like look into our crystal ball and sort of see what is that going to look like 1 week from now, 2 months from now, whatever. It's really, really hard to tell, really and truly. But at this point, the crowds are still not what they were. And the wait times still aren't. So that's something to keep in mind. But there's just so much really cool stuff is still going on. You are still, even on days that are considered, quote, busy now, seeing those awesome shots that people are getting with them being the only one in certain areas or walking out from a restaurant. I think we're back to recommending, like, if you can get a restaurant in park dining experience that you make the reservation at or near closing time, that's still going to afford you some really awesome photos, and take advantage of that.
Yes, that is the biggest tip right now. And this was something that Scott really accentuated when we went down in early August. And this is still very true for right now, is with the parks closing earlier, you're not eating dinner. You're not doing a 10:50 p.m. ADR, Pam, like you guys did at California Grill. I mean, you can have dinner at, I mean, if you snack, you can realistically have dinner at 7:55 at 8 o'clock park closing. And what it does, it buys you more time, because like you mentioned at the studios, that last couple of hours before the park closes, a lot of people have already bailed out for the day. Mm-hmm. And especially if you get like a rain shower that day, I mean, that's glorious because then a lot of people bailed on that. Then you got like, you can get so much done in like 2 hours at a theme park at Walt Disney World where people have already bailed out and there's no fast pass. You're just going place to place. And then you can go right up to like 7:45. You've worked your way up. You're starving. You get to have a nice meal to close out the night. You know, you get to have the good sit down meal. Then you're walking out. You're by yourself. It's like you're Elvis. It's awesome.
It's true. It's very true. We're still seeing that. And I love that. I really, truly do. I love that people have the opportunity. Things like that, the photo memories, I think are going to be awesome. So keep doing stuff like that.
All right, Ricky, here we go. Listener question from Kate. She says, hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, I need help deciding on the best time of year for us to head to the world. We'll be coming from Australia if and when we can travel internationally again. I was hoping you could do maybe a month-by-month breakdown of things to consider before booking, events, weather, long weekends, etc. Any help you can provide would be awesome. Thanks in advance, Kate. Okay, so that could be a show in itself, too. You know, month-by-month and stuff. But what I would say is, remember, their seasons are opposite of ours.
True.
So would you start off, say you're coming from Australia, where things are backwards. Would you rather visit, say... Well, I mean, our things are backwards.
Well, I was going to say that backwards probably isn't the right way to put it, but yeah.
Their toilets spin the wrong way.
The opposite.
Yeah, exactly. No, our toilets spin the wrong way. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, it's just too hard to think about all that. Okay, so we could, you know, really talk about, you know, because you have things that'll sneak up on you if you're an international guest, like a President's Day weekend. You know, that's not anything right. That's in your, you know, ingrained in your brain. But if you arrive on President's Day weekend in February, you're like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Because it's crazy. I mean, that's always every year that one weekend that I'm like, oh my gosh, like I know every year I'm like, I didn't see that coming. I should have. Like, it's always nuts on President's Day weekend. It's like crazy. Yeah, but you know. I don't, you know, we don't have to go through each month, but if you were coming from Australia, would you rather travel, say, in May to Walt Disney World, or would you rather travel in, say, early December to Walt Disney World? There's a lot of different considerations all in that, though.
Yeah, there is a lot of considerations for sure. May has always been one of my favorite months to go to Walt Disney World, though. So, you know, that was one of the months that definitely popped into my head. I just love, you know, you still got the Flower and Garden Festival that's going on at Epcot. So that park is absolutely gorgeous at that point. And by that point, because it's May, the plants have really grown in too. So the park looks pretty much the best it's going to look. So I really do like May. It's warmer, obviously. It's getting pretty toasty down in Orlando in May. So that's something to keep in mind. But it's honestly one of my favorite times. Another time that I always suggest is September. Kids are going back to school at that point, so the parks are just a smidgen less crowded, although you usually have free dining in that time period. I said usually, of course, this year, no free dining, clearly. And also, don't know if Disney will ever offer free dining again at this point, so just a heads up on that.
Easy.
I know. Hey, I just want people to be aware that we may have seen the end of free dining. Don't know, but it's a possibility. I'm just throwing it out there. So don't be disappointed if it never comes back. I just, you know, just saying, just be prepared. who knows what's going to happen in the future. And then December, you're right, is one of my other favorite times to go. Beginning of December, you do have the holiday decorations that are up. It's a gorgeous time to be there because all the parks are decorated. You usually have the resorts that are decorated too. You know, of course, not this year with the gingerbread, but because, you know, gingerbread is apparently something that we can't have. But, you know, all the other all the resorts are decorated in gorgeous fashion usually. And so now you do have things that come up. You know, we have like Pop Warner, which is a football tournament that usually happens, and cheerleading tournament that happens right at the beginning of December. So that's something to keep in mind. But it, again, it's another really great time to go. So I think one of those 3 months is kind of my favorite. You know, yeah. Those really are my favorite 3 months to go to Walt Disney World, to be perfectly honest.
So what I did was I put a pin in this one. I think we could do this maybe next Friday. We'll go through like each month of the year, all 12 months, and we'll say the positives and the negatives and like major events. Because that'd be a good show for everybody. And, you Definitely. Know, again, on a normal year, you know, because like, you know, this January, no marathon weekend. You know, this February, no princess. You know, so, and who knows about festivals and all. I mean, at festivals, I'm confident will probably happen. But
yes.
Because they have, even in all this. Yeah. All right, so let us... Let's look at the time here. Let's get to the last question of the day. This one comes from Kara. Good morning, Mike. Well, good evening, Kara. Good afternoon. Good night. If I don't see you. I really enjoy listening to your show. I want to thank you for being family friendly. You know what? We try. Pam and I are really good at that, Ricky. We got so much editing. It's so much editing.
It's really true. I mean, not. I had this discussion with my coworkers today of my filter. I have one. It's just really low. So
anyway, she says, I enjoy listening in the car while driving my kids to school. So it's nice they can listen to. So hello, kids. Hope you're having a good day.
Hi.
Question for you.
Well, wait a minute. We'll be able to see
the kids. Yeah, well, yeah, that's the virtual wave. Everything's virtual. It's 2020. Question for you. We're heading to Walt Disney World next Tuesday, September 22nd through Saturday, September 26th. Well, hope you had a good time. I apologize. We didn't get to this one on time. Do you recommend renting a car right now? We have two little ones. They're 4 and 1. So we could also... So we would also have to rent or bring car seats. I've been reading about really long bus lines. We're staying at the Beach Club Villas and visiting Hollywood Studios in the Magic Kingdom. Hollywood Studios, we plan on walking, but Magic Kingdom, we would be using the bus system, as well as visiting Disney Springs. Thanks so much, Kara. So, Pam, where do you fall on this? Because the Magic Kingdom is always ride a bus, in my opinion.
Yes.
It is, yeah, especially now because the trams are not operating from the parking lot. So where you're parking is the TTC.
And you do. A very long walk.
Depending on where you're parking. Yeah, it is. So if you're spending most of your time at the Magic Kingdom, then I suggest don't worry about that. Always take Disney transportation. That's the time that it really benefits you. The Beach Club is awesome because it's within walking distance of Hollywood Studios and also of Epcot. So I think that if those are the two parks that you're mainly going to, you're really not going to need car transportation for that. You don't have to worry about car seats when you're on Magical Express. It is a motor coach bus service, and those are not required or allowed to have car seats on them. So you won't need it for them. And I think you might as well just save yourself a little bit of money and not rent the car. Now, the other thing you can do is, let's say you have some kind of anomaly and there's a really long bus line for something at some point. You can always Uber or Lyft from that point. And the challenge will be the car seat thing. So make sure you sort of read up on all of that, but check those things out too.
Yeah, absolutely. And let us know what you decided to do and how it worked out for you, because I'm always curious when people get back. So send me an email and we'll follow up with that. Also, Lisa in the live chat, she's like, oh, man, I just realized I booked over President's Day weekend for next year. My bad. I'm not trying to set off alarms. It'll be fine. You know what? I mean, maybe everybody's going to say, everybody in the world's going to be like, oh, I'm not going over Princess weekend. It's crazy. What if everybody psychs each other out and you're the only one there? Look at it that way.
Yep.
Could be. Somebody's got to be the only one. All right. That's going to do it for today's show. If you have questions, send those to the inbox, mike@brguestpodcast.com. Put listener questions in the heading, and we'll get it on the show right away. And hopefully we'll get to it even before you get back. But we didn't have much lead time on that one. Come on now. But yeah, we try. Right. We try. All right. Don't forget today's show, as always, brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. It's a great place to get your planning started. You know, look at the resort guides, look at the specials that are out there. You know, maybe you live in one of those 10 lucky states, as I call it with my guests, the 10 super states, the lucky states, whatever you call it, the southern states. I get everybody sends me a different title for that discount, but there's a room offer out there. Magic is here as well, packages with tickets. Just drop by, it'll tell you all the information while you're there, fill out the quote form, and if you mention the show, you and I are going to be working together on a great trip, whether it's in 10 days or 10 months. It'll be fun. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You know, get your holiday shopping started now, right? It's almost October. Ricky, do you start your holiday shopping in October? You probably start before that.
It depends on the year.
Okay. Well, it's 2020, so that's what I'm going for.
I do have some Christmas stuff already bought at this point. There yes. Okay. For this year. Yes.
Use the link. All right. And finally, if you need a little extra content in your week, how about Mike in the Midwest? Last week, I went through the list of top 100 toys from the 80s and talked about all my memories from like 30 of them. Ricky, you probably don't remember some of these. One of my top toys, this I played hours for. This is how old I am. I'm like so old that like a rock was exciting. But one of them was, and I'll try to describe it because it's audio. It was a little handheld like game that you held in your hand. It was filled with water.
With water.
And it had little rings, and you push these two little buttons with your thumbs and shoot the water up. And you had to hook. That was like, dude, that was better than a Game Boy back in the day. Yes. That was the best.
You are correct. I do remember that game. It was awesome. Because there was, I mean, it was a lot of luck and maybe a little skill.
Oh, no, it was all skill. That was all skill.
You gotta press the air to go up at the exact right time. So, like, there was definitely some skill involved in that. I mean, let's not lie. There was some skill.
You know what it was? It was like the world's first Flappy Bird, now that I think about it, because it was actually the same mechanics. Because if you think about it, like, you had to go, like, you'd keep the wings going, you had to keep the ring going. It was the world's first Flappy Bird, like in 81.
There you go. So, yeah, I mean, I absolutely remember that game, and I loved it. So, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. So We're good.
We do a bunch of nonsense like that. We have a Discord server for our patrons. So, check it out today, patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And thanks to all the patrons for making this all possible. Follow us on social media, Instagram and Twitter, at BeOurGuestPod, at BeOurGuestMike. And, of course, check us out on YouTube and Facebook. We have all the video, all the stuff that's unedited. So, Ricky... easy.
I'm watching it.
Family friendly. All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday where we're talking about our best bets for dining inside the theme parks and at the resorts right now. Stuff that is only open right now at Walt Disney World. So don't come to the show hungry Friday. If you go before, like on an early morning run, we warned you. Mm-hmm. You know, new trait. Eat something. Do good. All right, we'll see you then. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wish you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.